Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Have you ever had a dream that felt so real? Of course you have. We all dream. But what if your dreams aren't just stories? What if they hold the secret key to your healing, insight, and personal power? I'm Teresa Chung, and in my weekly UK Health Radio show, I'll help you unlock the true meaning and healing power of your dreams, whether your eyes are wide shut or wide open. Each episode explores a common dream theme, features a special guest expert, and then opens the Zoom to you, our dreamers, to ask questions and share your dream stories with us live, because your dreams matter. And in your dreams, you're always the star. So join me each week, and just like a dream, expect only the unexpected. We also live in our dreams. We do not live only by day. Sometimes we accomplish our greatest deeds and achieve the greatest healing in our dreams. Those words from the godfather of dreamwork himself, Jung, remind us that sleep isn't just a biological necessity. It's a healing frontier, a space where the unseen parts of us speak in symbols, stories, questions, and strange poetry, often more honest than anything we say out loud. Hello, visionary dreamers, and welcome back to the healing power of your dreams, right here on UK Health Radio. I'm your host, Teresa Chung, and my mission here is to help you tune in to the night shift of your psyche, giving airtime to the silent symphonies unfolding behind your eyes. Because your pillow isn't just a resting place, it's a launch pad, a therapist's couch, a sacred scroll. So settle in and let the dream healing begin. Now, have you ever dreamt you were drowning in dark water? Bleeding for no reason, frantically searching for a restroom that never appears, or driving a car that suddenly breaks down. Well, believe it or not, these aren't just your subconscious trying to mess with your beauty sleep. These dreams may be whispering real messages about your psychological and physical health. Yes, really. You might want to listen up, or better yet, dream in, because each episode of this show will help trigger dream recall for you the following morning. Where your attention goes during the day is what speaks to you in your dreams at night. Imagine if your unconscious mind could detect a health issue before your waking mind even noticed a thing. That's not science fiction, that's dream science. From the ancient dream incubation temples of Greece to the work of Freud, Jung, and today's dream and sleep pioneers. There's a powerful tradition of dreams revealing what our bodies and souls are trying to tell us, whether it's literal early warning system or a rich symbolic language pointing to a neglected part of yourself. Dreams are not just bedtime entertainment. They're deep healing medicine. And speaking of dream pioneers, I could not be more excited about today's very special guest. She's dream royalty. A lucid dreaming legend, a nighttime ninja of neuroscience. Alongside the wonderful fellow Brit Charlie Morley, who, yes, will be joining us as a special guest in the new year, today's special guest is widely regarded as one of the world's leading authorities on the healing power of dreams, particularly lucid dreaming, that magical moment when you become aware that you're dreaming while you're dreaming. Just a little more about Claire before we welcome her in. She's an internationally known lucid dreaming pioneer, and was the first person in the world to earn a PhD in lucid dreaming as a creative tool. She's also the former president and CEO of the International Association for the Study of Dreams. Yes, there's a whole association, and yes, she ran it. She's written 8 books, including The Art of Lucid Dreaming, The Art of Transforming Nightmares, and her brand new release, The Elixir of Sleep, Practical Solutions for a Good Night's Rest, which I know many of you are going to want to get your hands on. Claire also runs dream retreats and online classes, and her new podcast, Sleep and Deep Lucid Dreaming, offers weekly dives into the mysteries of sleep and dreams. Her website is a treasure trove of meditations and lucidity techniques, www.deeplucidreaming.com. Now, Claire and I go back a long way. We shared many a dream conversation being part of the Shift Network teaching faculty, and she has guested many times on my personal White Shores podcast. So today will feel like reconnecting with a dream sister. We'll talk for a little while now to fire up your dreaming mind and fill it with questions and memories. And then at 3:30 p.m., the Zoom link will go live for you to join us and ask your questions. You can find that link on the Healing Power of Your Dreams page on the UK Health Radio website. Just remember, if you do join, don't join on more than one device, otherwise we get an echo. You don't need to turn your camera on unless you want to. Now, you can simply watch us in the Zoom or go live and ask your question. Just let us know your intentions in the chat. And for on-demand listeners, sorry, the live Zoom link won't be active, but both Claire and I welcome questions via our websites. Mine is www.teresachung.com, and Claire's again is www.deeplucidreaming.com. This week's theme is how dreams, in particular lucid ones, can shine the nightlight on your holistic well-being and offer you a path to healing you may not have considered before. But nothing is out of bounds, as dreams are infinite, and you can ask Claire and myself anything your dreaming mind inspires. We've also got email questions for Claire gathered from listeners ahead of this show that we'll try to get into too. So many dreams, so little time, Claire. So let's dive headfirst in. Hello!
Hello, Teresa, and thank you for that wonderful introduction. And yeah, it's very sweet. It does feel like a meeting of dream sisters, as we've had so many wonderful conversations. And I love your work. You're doing amazing things in the world. So thank you for everything that you do.
Total respect to you, Claire, and I hope you will be a recurring dream on this show. Now, let's dive into questions. You describe lucid dreaming, that rare dream state when you're in a dream and you know you're dreaming, as a kind of conscious playground. Would you mind just getting a bit personal here and share a moment from your own dream life where a lucid dream brought you emotional or even physical healing? And what do you think was really going on for you there?
Oh, yes. So one example I can give is when I was thinking about having a baby. And I actually had a precognitive dream of there being something small like a circle that wasn't right, that was in my womb. And so I thought, oh, I don't know what that is. I better get it checked out. And I got it checked out. And in fact, there was a little fibroid tumor, just really small. It's a benign tumor. But the doctor said, oh, well, if you're thinking about getting pregnant, be careful, because when you're pregnant, your body is flooded with estrogen. And that makes these fibroids grow bigger. And that might disturb a baby. So I thought, oh dear, well, what am I going to do? I didn't want to have surgery. I thought, I'm going to try and heal this myself before I do that. And what I did was I created a little mantra to use in my dreams and also in my waking meditations. And with mantras, you've got to be careful to give the right message to the unconscious mind. You know, don't use sort of words like don't or never. You just have to have a very clear message. So I came up with, the only thing that grows in my womb is a baby, right? Because I didn't want the fibroid tumor to start growing. I just wanted my baby to be able to come into my womb and grow. So I did that. I did this by day, and also as I was falling asleep in that very creative, magical moment as you're falling into sleep or coming out of sleep. And I started to have these very deep lucid dreams where I found myself floating in orange light, nothing, just orange light. And my body was floating, taken up by this light. And I knew that this light was healing me. And so basically what happened is I then got pregnant and I went to get a scan to see what was going on. And they could at first still see this little fibroid tumor, but it didn't get bigger as the baby got bigger. It just stayed the same size despite what they said. And then after a while, they couldn't see it at all because the baby was there taking up all the space. And after she was born, I went back for a final check and that fibroid tumor had completely vanished. So for me, that was an example of not only a dream hinting that something might be wrong with my health, and me following up and finding that there was a little issue. But also, it was a testament to the way that when we put our thoughts, our intentions, our emotions, and our power towards healing through dreams or through those liminal states of consciousness, like waking up from sleep or falling asleep, then things can start to transform. And it's very good to give that clear message to the dreaming mind or to the unconscious mind of what it is that you actually want and to focus on that healing outcome. So for me, that was a big moment in my life where I understood, this is how to connect with my dreaming mind. And when you make that connection, the dreams come, they lift you up and they will support you because all dreams come in the service of health and healing. And sleep is a biological and physiological portal to radiant health. It's one of the three pillars of health alongside diet and exercise. And too many people sort of ignore sleep, or we push it away, we push it to the outermost edges of our lives. But when we embrace sleep and all that it has to offer, dreams, lucid dreams, hypnagogic visions and images, out-of-body experiences, and all of those amazing states of consciousness that sleep encompasses, then we live a deeper life, a healthier life, and we can really transform the way that our lives continue, the way that everything works out for us.
Oh, don't go on anymore because I think all our listeners are going to switch off and want to go to sleep now. You've said so beautifully. Stay awake, everyone, just for now. You can sleep in the dream. Wow, that's incredible. But have you come across in your time any dreams that sort of accurately predict physical illness? I've had messages over the years from people who had dreams, for example, where a strange figure points to an area of their body and they go to a doctor and without even knowing there was anything wrong with that area of the body, it's something manifests. Have you had dreams like that? And how can people distinguish that kind of dream from dreams that are more symbolic?
There are many, many examples of this. I'm always very interested by the work of Dr. Larry Burke, who did a whole study on precognitive dreams from women who were told by the dream or shown by the dream that they had breast cancer, even before they had any symptoms, and then it turned out they did have breast cancer. And so precognitive dreams are dreams where we're shown a possible future, and we're shown a glimpse of the future before we can even know it with any of the ordinary senses. And there were dreams within that study of women who sometimes they were just told by a deceased loved one, for example. Like one woman dreamed that her father was shouting at her, "You have breast cancer," like this. And I mean, you don't ignore that kind of dream, right? You think, okay, I've got to get myself checked out. But when she went to the doctor did a scan of her breasts and said, "No, you don't have any breast cancer." And she was like, "Okay, well, that's great, but that's weird. Where did that dream come from?" And she went back home, and a few nights later, she had another dream where she was shown the exact position of the breast cancer, and it was far below her left breast, so not in a usual place. She went back to the doctor and insisted that he took a biopsy, and she showed him exactly where to insert the biopsy needle. And he was skeptical, just like, "Oh, come on, you're back again. I've already tested you. You're fine. Stop being paranoid." But he inserted the needle in that exact spot and encountered a lump and was completely shocked. And it was actually cancer. But because she caught it at a very early stage, they were able to operate, and then she was healthy afterwards. So that's a very kind of strong example of the kind of thing that can happen when our dreams will literally, they'll shout at us and they will show us and they will relentlessly push the fact that there is some illness in our body. Even if we feel completely well and we're treated as if we're crazy, we go to a doctor. mean, I will say briefly though that most dreams are psychological or emotional, and they don't always predict illness. So what we do is we do dream work to try and find out, is that dream predictive of physical illness, or is it a dream I'm having which is a metaphor for some other situation in my life? So before we completely panic and think we've got some terrible disease and we it's very good to unwrap the metaphor of the dream. But I have, I mean, there are many other examples. In my new book, Elixir of Sleep, I wrote about the actor, the Avengers star, Mark Ruffalo. And in 2001, he had a dream which he said was unlike any other dream. And this relates as well to your question, Therese, of how do we know if the dream is referring to something physical or not? In his dream, he said it was like no other dream. There was just this solid knowing, and it was, you have a brain tumor. And he woke up from that. He had no symptoms apart from an ear infection, but it freaked him out. He thought, I've got to act on this. So he went to the doctors and he said, you're going to think I'm crazy, but I had a dream, and the dream said I have a brain tumor. So they did a CAT scan, a CAT scan, and afterwards the nurse came in to see him, and she looked like a zombie, he said, and she said, oh my goodness, you have a mass in your brain the size of a golf ball. And luckily it was benign, and luckily they caught it when they did and they removed it, but he did become deaf in one ear because of that, but at least he's still alive. So yeah, so that's again another of these dreams where it's just super clear what's going on. But dreams often also use metaphors or imagery to show us the physical sensations of an illness or to represent it in some other way. In one of my books, maybe the complete book of lucid dreaming, there was this little girl, and she used to dream of these floating magician's gloves just floating in the air, and then they would suddenly come down and strangle her. And she would have this before the onset of an asthma attack, where of course you feel as if you're being strangled, you haven't got enough air in your lungs. So that's an example of the kind of dream that paints a picture or speaks in metaphors as a way to represent the sensations of a physical condition or illness. Yeah.
Wow, every time I talk to you, Claire, I learn something new. You are endlessly surprising. You really do embody dreaming so much. That was incredible.
Thank you.
Amazing. So you're saying that basically dreams that maybe are precognitive of your health, they tend to have a knowing, whereas dreams that are more symbolic and metaphorical, they're more emotional and fragmented, but there's a more of a knowing with dreams. That's what I've come across before as
Is
well.
It? Yeah, yeah. That sort of makes sense, doesn't it? And I think for everybody, it's a little different. There's a surgeon called Bernie Siegel, and he wrote a book I can't remember the title of it right now, but in the book, there was a nurse who suffered from a mysterious illness for weeks on end. And even though she was a nurse surrounded by doctors, nobody knew what the matter was. Then she had a dream of a shellfish, and the shellfish opened up, and this little worm stood up in the shellfish, and an old woman in the dream pointed and said, that's what's wrong with you. And the nurse woke up knowing that she had hepatitis. So, yeah.
It's always worth with a dream, isn't it? If you're unsure if it's precognition or not, to rule out the literal. For example, if you have your teeth falling out in a dream, classic dream,
yes.
You need a dental checkup. Just rule that out first. That is absolutely incredible. I've got so many more questions to ask you, Claire. I can't wait. And I hope you're lining up questions as well if you're listening. Remember, the Zoom link opens at 3:30, and you can find that Zoom link on the Healing Power of Your Dreams page on UK Health Radio. But I do believe that we have to go to a commercial break right now. So don't go away. There's so much to talk and dream about with the amazing Dr. Claire Johnson, lucid dreaming pioneer.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Hello and welcome back. I'm talking to a leader in lucid dreaming research and writing, a true pioneer, Dr. Claire Johnson. And I'm going to talk more about lucid dreaming now, because often people get confused when I talk about lucid dreaming. They just think it's a particularly clear and vivid dream. It's not, is it? Would you mind, just for people listening who are maybe new to all this and it's like, oh my goodness, what are they talking about? The difference between a psychological symbolic dream, which is most of our dreams, and then that lucid dreaming state. And for someone who doesn't believe it's possible for them to lucid dream, what advice would you give them?
Yes, so a lucid dream is a dream where you know that you are dreaming while you are physiologically asleep and dreaming. So lucidity is all about awareness. You know, there, you may think back on your life and think, oh, there were some dreams where I kind of seemed to know that the nightmare figure that was chasing me wasn't really chasing me, but you know, I didn't really kind of become fully aware of the fact, oh, okay, this is a dream right now, and turn to face the nightmare image and ask it questions, or find out what it's doing in your dream. So there are moments where we all have these flashes of insight, but sometimes it becomes then a fully aware state. So we don't wake up, we continue to dream, but we know that everything that we see and touch and experience is a dream. You know, that our body is asleep in bed. So it's an incredibly magical feeling to become aware inside a dream. And it's a thought-responsive environment. That means it responds, the dream action responds to our thoughts, intentions, desires, expectations, which is absolutely incredible. It puts you in a position to be able to talk with your dreaming mind, to observe your unconscious imagery as it evolves and changes, to have a conversation with the deepest part of yourself, and also to direct healing to a part of your body, mind, or spirit, if you feel so inclined. And so lucidity, lucid dreaming, is just a really powerful state of consciousness that we can all experience. There are many ways to get into lucid dreaming. For example, I would advise people who have never experienced this before to just practice observing any images or sensations that come up as they're falling asleep. That's a really powerful moment where our brain is switching between different brain waves. We're getting more into a theta brainwave state, and we start to have these incredible visions. So see if you can spot those first. This is called hypnagogia. And we also have the hypnopompic imagery as we're emerging from sleep, which is also very powerful images and sensations. So we can tap into these states of awareness and see if sometimes you see that can develop into a fully blown lucid dream. But it's a great way just to practice, because as soon as you see any of these images, as soon as you become aware of them, that's lucidity. You know, you're experiencing lucid hypnagogic imagery. So you can look at those key moments, falling asleep, waking up from sleep, especially during nap time. And it's good to focus your lucid dreaming sort of power on the second half of the night of sleep, when most of your deep sleep is out of the way. Let yourself fall asleep and just completely relax, have a great night's sleep. And if you wake up, perhaps you need to use the bathroom, or you're aware of turning over in bed inside the night, during the night, then just say to yourself, dreaming, I am lucid dreaming. Lucid dreaming. Just drop that into your consciousness. And you may well find that you find this whole world building up around you, and you'll be able to enter it in full conscious awareness and decide what you would like to do. You could go with the flow of the dream. Lucid dreaming doesn't have to be about controlling everything. Or you could decide, oh, I'd love to see my deceased relative, or I would love to meet up with my cat, or whatever it is that you might like to do in your dream. And then you can guide and shape the experience. And it's also very spontaneous as well. Spontaneous things will always happen during lucid dreaming. But it opens up a whole world of magic, potential. You can explore the nature of consciousness, time, space, and reality, get deeper into healing and creativity.
Apart from being the wildest ride you'll ever have, I mean, it's incredible. The healing benefits is because you can create unconscious shifts. Then you start to see how much you are in control of what you think, feel, believe.
Yes.
deep down, because often in waking life, we aren't aware of what we truly believe, are we? But in the lucid dreaming state, we can actually make those unconscious shifts to raise our vibration and attract into our life what we want, when sometimes we can't do it when we're awake. Have you any thoughts about that, using lucid dreaming as a manifesting tool? If you can dream it, you can do it.
Yes, exactly. Well, when we're awake, we often have this critical voice in our head, or we're often more ruled by the ego self, and we're also restricted by so many of the limiting beliefs that we accumulate as we go through life. From childhood on, we accumulate these limiting beliefs. But when we are in an altered state of consciousness, such as lucid dreaming, most of that just falls away. We can still be critical thinkers within a lucid dream, but we're far more open-minded and we're not so limited, because we're in a world of infinite possibilities when we're lucid dreaming. So that in itself is superb. It's great to bathe in that state of consciousness where anything is possible. And that comes over into waking life as well, because we start to realize, okay, the whole of life is actually a thought responsive environment that we can influence with our thoughts, desires, intentions, and emotions. And so that comes over, that crosses over and helps us in our everyday lives. But within the dream, we can actually ask to heal ourselves psychologically, or to visualize something amazing that we would love to have in the future, like our dream job, or the soulmate that we are longing to meet. Show me my soulmate, or how do I meet my soulmate? And also to help us to overcome fear. I mean, I found that from my very early experiences with lucid dreaming when I was a kid, and I had no idea what I was doing, and I had all these wild experiences during sleep. But I often had nightmares, and they were very, very scary, and I didn't know what to do. But I gradually started to understand the rules of the dream world, i.e., that the more afraid I got, the bigger and scarier those dream monsters got, and that the only way to really kind of make them calm down and not be so scary would be to relax and calm down myself, no matter how hard that was, and then ask them, why are you chasing me? You know, why are you so scary? And then often they would respond with something like, oh, I'm lonely, I want to be your friend, you know. And then suddenly I had this really powerful dream ally instead of having a scary dream monster. So there are shifts that can take place within your psyche, whether you're a child or an adult. It really can be quite astonishing how fast these transformative shifts take place, and then they will seep into your waking life. You will be less fearful. You can ask questions about your health in a lucid dream. You can ask questions about your relationships. Why is my partner being so distant? The dream is so creative. It will come up with something. It will show you a stream of imagery, or it will express something to you that maybe you won't understand it right at that moment when it's happening in the dream. But when you wake up, you can think about it, do some dream work with it to unwrap it. And there is so much wisdom in the dream state, and it's wonderful to access this.
I mean, there's so many examples of dreams bringing healing, creativity, and new ideas, and working through anxiety, grief, and trauma. If you're listening and you want to ask Dr. Claire Johnson, lucid dreaming pioneer, a question, or myself about your dreams, please do go to the Healing Power of Your Dreams page on UK Health website, and we can answer it before. But before that, so that Claire can have a glass of water and catch her breath, and me too, Claire, we've asked you for a song choice today that you'd like listeners to listen to. Would you mind explaining what your song is and why you've chosen it today?
Oh yeah, sure. Yeah, so I love Café Del Mar music, and I write my books to that kind of music, you know. And so I chose the song from Café Del Mar, Dreams 4, and it's called Dreaming, the song. It's by Nouvelle Vedette, Fleur Sanderson. And I love this song because every time I listen to it, it's like a love song. And it reminds me of my love for my dreaming mind, for the lucid dreams, for all the healing and creativity I receive from that part of my life. And she sings, you know, is this for real? Am I dreaming? And that always reminds me to do a reality check and ask myself in that moment, am I dreaming right now? You know, is this a dream? Is this a lucid dream right now? And so it wakes me up. At the same time, it relaxes me. And there's this loving feeling there. It's really beautiful, a very dreamlike song. Yeah.
Hello again. And it's that portion of the show I love because the listeners become the star of the show. And I've been going through emails. You seem to be much happier to send in emails than to join the Zoom. Don't be frightening. Don't be scared. Claire and I are not frightening at all. Do join in. You can watch us in action. But I understand, though, if you prefer email. And one question actually that has been asked by three of them is, what is the difference between astral travel and lucid dreaming, Claire? I have my take on that. I think that lucid dreaming is a form of astral travel. I don't think we ever leave our bodies in the lucid dreaming state, but I'd love your take on it, because it's quite controversial when you get different schools of thought, don't you?
Yeah, well, for me, it's like we leave our body every night when we fall asleep, right? Because we enter a dream body or a lucid dream body if we're having a lucid dream. So I think it's very, very natural for humans to float into a different kind of body. But in terms of, yes, lucid dreaming and out-of-body experiences, we always want to categorize experiences and separate them into their little boxes. And I do feel that lucid dreaming is different from out-of-body experiences for one main reason, which is that the definition of lucid dreams is that they happen while we are physiologically asleep. Right? That is what a lucid dream is. It happens when we're asleep. But out-of-body experiences can happen from the sleep state, right, but they can also happen from different states of consciousness. Where there is trauma, physical trauma, like we're riding a motorbike, we have a motorbike crash, and we find ourselves shooting out of our body and observing the scene from above. But that has nothing to do with lucid dreaming. This has to do with the physical trauma sending us into a different state of consciousness. And there are many other states of consciousness where we also experience out-of-body experiences. For example, fainting. I've had out-of-body experiences myself from fainting and then leaving my body, being completely aware of what's going on, but hovering, you know, above the scene about 6 meters in the air or something. And so these are not lucid dreams. So there are, I would say there are very strong experiential overlaps between lucid dreams and out-of-body experiences, but that they are different. So it's a confusing one, because some people say, you know, out-of-body experiences, oh, they, you know, they're the same as lucid dreams. But what I say is, I mean, sometimes I have had experiences where I'm asleep and dreaming, and I'm fully aware that I'm dreaming. So I'm lucid in the dream, and there's a dream scene around me. And then suddenly these vibrations will be running through my entire physical body, and I'll find myself being pulled out of that lucid dream and into a completely different space. Now, that is where I would say, well, that was an out-of-body experience that started from the lucid dream state, but it became something else. It became something different. And I've had very, very many thousands and thousands of these types of experiences where I find myself lucidly aware, so to speak, so very, very conscious, but I'm not in a lucid dream. I'm having an out-of-body experience. I'm in a completely different kind of environment. And this can also be very healing. I've had experiences from lucid dreams where I've gone into these different environments. Often they're white light environments, and there it can be very healing. There can be healing that takes place. Or sometimes I will meet people or beings who seem to have a vast amount of wisdom, and they will talk to me telepathically about the journey of the soul through life, or they will share information about the future with me. So these are like what I call deep lucid dreams, or they can become out of body experiences. So there are experiential overlaps, but they are different states of consciousness in my view. Yeah. And I think the thing is about sleep generally is that there are all these different states of consciousness layered within a night of sleep, and so much to explore. And that's why all my life I have studied sleep, lucid dreams, out-of-body experiences, hypnagogia, hypnopompia, so as you go into or emerge from sleep. And there's always more to discover. I still don't feel that I know absolutely everything about these states of consciousness. And one thing that I've written quite extensively about, also in Elixir of Sleep, my latest book, is the state of lucid light, which is when we find ourselves in this beautiful healing environment of white light. It's a state that can really bring us so much rejuvenation. Like sometimes we can drift into that state just from a deep state of relaxation, for example, and find incredible healing and come back feeling regenerated, because sleep is a regeneration. You know, it regenerates the entire physical body. It helps us to lay down all the memories and experiences we've had. It can help us to become more creative. Sleep, in fact, can even help with weight control. It can help us to lose weight, because the thing is about sleep is that when we don't get enough, then we find ourselves waking up in the morning absolutely exhausted, depleted from energy, and then our body craves carbohydrates and we eat way more on a day where we haven't slept enough compared to a night where we've had a great recuperative night's sleep. And so it's very important to prioritize sleep for any of these reasons, you know, either as to employ that state as a deeper dive into consciousness and to the nature of reality, or as a pathway into healing ourselves or helping to heal our relationships or to heal other people in our lives. And also on the biological level of having a stronger immune system, better brain health, controlling inflammation in the body, regenerating our cells and having this vibrant energy with which we can go about our day. So I'm definitely an advocate of getting enough good sleep. And I'm quite happy to give some tips about that, should that be useful. Or perhaps we have questions coming in. Oh, we do have a caller. Okay, great. Yes. Hello, Rafaela. What is your question? You might need to unmute yourself.
Hi, Dr. Claire. I've got an absolute new favorite song. I loved your soundtrack to start off. Thank you so much. My question is actually, as a child, I had phenomenal dreams, and I often used to wake up and then fall back asleep and the dream would continue. But as an adult, I've never been able to do that. Is it just because I was a child, or is there a secret to it, to actually continue a nice dream?
Yeah, I mean, as a child, these things tend to be easier simply because we haven't yet put ourselves into a cage of limiting beliefs, what's possible, what's not possible. Children are so open-minded, you know, and as adults, we need to kind of relearn to accept that anything is possible. You know, sometimes it becomes harder to accept that as we grow older. So we have to work on expanding our mind and saying, okay, I can still do this. Anything is possible. So the first thing I would say is know that it is possible, because many people report being able to do this. I've done it many times myself also as an adult. And secondly, you can practice this in a really easy and beneficial way, simply by during the day, if you've had a dream and you think, oh my gosh, I would love to go back into that dream, you can just lie down, have a little nap, and fall into that deep state of relaxation. So as you're just falling asleep, bring the imagery from your dream back into your mind right from the beginning and really feel it and see it and feel the emotions and relive it and just let it play out. Often what happens, well, several things can happen. Either, as you've just said, you can fall asleep and you'll find yourself in that amazing dream environment again. Or you may find you don't fall completely asleep, but there will be spontaneous imagery or conversations or wisdom that come through while you're in that beautiful deep state of relaxation. So I would definitely advise trying that. And this is known Well, there's a state called yoga nidra, which is when you're resting in awareness. Your body's asleep, but your mind is awake. And it's gorgeous to cultivate that, especially if you're someone who loves the idea of dream re-entry, just floating on the edges of sleep and allowing that pure creativity to arise and carry you wherever it will. So I would recommend trying that if you can. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. It does. And I'm very keen to try it. And I loved what both you and Teresa also said about using a mantra or even seeing it as manifesting something,
yeah.
Falling asleep with that sort of in my mind and manifesting it. And I think that's really something that resonates so with me.
Yes. Oh well. I mean, I've taught so many workshops on manifesting via the dream state and also the state that I just mentioned with yoga nidra, where you float on the edges of sleep. It's incredibly powerful, this state of consciousness for manifestation. I remember one woman who was in dire straits financially, and she really wanted to manifest some money to help her get out of a difficult situation in her life. And so we did a technique where we lie down. This was in a live workshop. I got them to lie down and talked them into a state of relaxation, and then invited them to bring imagery into their minds that represented the abundance or whatever it was that they were seeking, financial abundance or better health or whatever it was. And in fact, she had no idea what kind of image to think about. And an image came up spontaneously, and it was of a tree with loads of banknotes on it, so loads of money on this tree. And she realized when that image came up, wow, money really does grow on trees, right? It really does, if you think about the origin of paper money. And she loved that idea. It really struck a chord with her, just as she was falling asleep, you know, in that beautiful state of consciousness. And she realized, okay, that's easy abundance. Money grows on trees. And that changed something in her state, in her consciousness. It just really shifted something. And it was amazing. We had another workshop the week later, and she came in very excited and said, guess what? That money manifestation actually worked. I've received a council grant of several thousand pounds, and that's just what I need to be able to fix this and that issue in my life. And she was just so amazed that it can work. And so it often happens that we have these limiting beliefs like I never have enough money, or I don't know how to earn money, you know, something around money. And then you shift it in that very open state of consciousness, and suddenly in waking life everything shifts because your energy has shifted. And this is the secret. This is the secret of manifestation. So thank you for asking that question. And I think it's time for a commercial break. But Raffaella, would you like to stay on afterwards? You'd be very welcome to. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Thank you, Claire. That was wonderful, your insight. You are a dream to be on the show. I just had my own nightmare there and a bit of technical glitches, but we're okay. And I'm back now. But thank you, Claire. That's why I knew that you would be awesome for this show. So thank you.
You're welcome. Don't worry, these things happen.
big heart. I want to talk to you about nightmares. I'm going to go to the dark side, and especially after my experience, I was very much plunged into the dark now. Aww. You have written a book about the transformative art of nightmares, and I have several questions coming in about nightmares. People seem to be having more of them right now. Can you explain why that you think that might be? And if you have a nightmare, what you suggest people do when they wake up in the middle of the night, their heart's pounding, and it felt so real.
Yes, there are many people suffering from nightmares these days, and I think on the whole there seems to be a rise of anxiety. People are worried because it feels like the world is out of their control, and that seeps into every area of our lives, including our dreams. So I'm also receiving, like you, Teresa, many questions from people who are saying, "How do I stop these nightmares? What's happening to me?" And so, what I always say is that all dreams come to help us and heal us, including horrible nightmares. As hard as that may be to believe, these nightmares actually are coming in the service of healing. But we often can't see that because we wake up absolutely frightened and we think that is the most horrible thing ever, and I just want it to be over. And I need a nightmare pill, and then all my nightmares will vanish, and that's great, kind of thing. Basically, well, first of all, when you wake up from a nightmare, please take care of your body. Have a nice drink of water. Go and wash your face if you want to. Look out for yourself. And then, what I advise people to do if they want to and if it feels right is my lucid imaging nightmare solution, which is when you get back into bed, having calmed down, and you ask yourself, just check in with yourself, do I want to work with this nightmare right now? And if the answer is no, then don't, because some nightmares need a therapist, or they need someone else, or a safe space. But if you think, yeah, okay, I'm just gonna find out what this nightmare is about, then you relax, you close your eyes, and you do a dream re-entry, like the one I was just talking about with Raffaella on the show. So you bring back the images of your nightmare, and you rewind it. You have to remember that you're in charge. It's almost as if you can just rewind or pause or fast forward to wherever you want to go. And I advise people to go back to the point in the nightmare, just before everything descended into a nightmare, right? So it's called the tipping point. You may not find a tipping point, in which case just start wherever feels right or start at the beginning. If you can go back to that moment before the monster jumps out of the cupboard or before your car crashes or whatever it is that happened in the nightmare, and then you press play on the dream and you allow it to replay, but this time it's as if you are lucid dreaming. You are aware that you are safe. Everything is going to be all right. And you have this sort of witnessing consciousness, and you're just going to observe what happens. And you allow the dream or the nightmare to play out. But you can ask questions. For example, if something bad happens, say, why is this happening? Why did this happen in my dream? Or you can try and relive the dream without the fear. So let's say the car crash dream, instead of being really freaked out and screaming in that nightmare, you say, I'm going to relax and see where this car crash takes me. What's going to happen? And often it's amazing because when you get back into that dream without the fear, something really magical and transformative will happen. You relive it without fear. And at the same time as your dream car is flying off the road, you have a realization. Oh, I've been traveling, I've been pushing myself too fast in my life. I've been driving myself too fast. I'm out of control. I need to calm down. I need to cut down on the amount of work that I'm doing. Some realization like that might happen as your dream car is flipping through the air. Or you may find that the dream car lands on all four wheels in a beautiful meadow, a wonderful place where you then meet this amazing being and have a spiritual encounter. Anything can happen. Anything can be changed. And that's this part of this nightmare solution is you go in there seeking the reason behind that nightmare and allowing change to happen if that's what's meant to be. So we don't force or push, but we just explore that dream or that nightmare until something happens or we have an insight and we feel like, okay, now I understand more what this dream is trying to tell me or show me. And that can be very, very liberating. It only needs to take, like, I don't know, 5 minutes sometimes or even less. So it's just about being brave and going back in there straight away and finding out what it was about, if that feels right. And people have reported really transformative healing experiences through doing the lucid imaging nightmare solution. What I remind people is that you can always transform your dream life. You really can, no matter how horrible the nightmares are, no matter how often you're having them, it is possible to change and transform your dream life for the better. And when you do that, your waking life will transform too.
And that's so empowering because it reminds you that you have choice and that your dreams are created for you, by you, and they're all about you. And because people do think dreams happen to them, don't they? They don't. They're actually our own creation. But a lot of people listening will know you, of course, with your lucid dreaming techniques and, you know, being the first person in the world to do a PhD in lucid dreaming. Wow. And whenever I talk to you, I always think of that delicious line in Inception, you need to dream. You mustn't be afraid to dream a little bigger, darling. And you have really lived that message. But I'd like to sort of close this, and there's never enough time talking to you, Claire, with just a simple technique that maybe people could do tonight. I know you suggested one already, but something tonight that people could do, not just to maybe lucid dream if they're lucky enough, but to just simply enjoy their dreams more and to get more about out of them and to learn and grow and heal from them.
Lovely. Yeah. So what I would suggest is be playful. You know, don't put too much pressure on yourself to have a lucid dream or so on. But what I would do is just like draw a little picture of something you'd like to experience in a dream. You know, like maybe you'd like to fly, or perhaps you'd like to visit the moon or reconnect with a deceased loved one. Draw a little image, or you can get one online and just look at that and impregnate it into your consciousness just before you go to sleep. And think about it every time you have those mini awakenings in the night to inspire a particular kind of dream experience, because it can be so wonderful to do this, to incubate a dream as they did in the ancient Asclepian temples of Greece so long ago. And we can just bring that into our lives, and it can trigger lucid dreaming as well. If you think, oh my gosh, I wanted to dream about my grandmother and here she is, I must be dreaming. And then you can develop that dream state as you like. Yeah.
And people would travel far and wide to the temples, wouldn't they, to have dreams incubated about them. But you can go to the temple of your bedroom every night and do that and get some dream medicine. I do hope you love the writing and the vision and the research of this lady, Dr. Claire Johnson, as much as I do, everyone listening. Do check her out. A reminder how people can get in touch with you, Claire, before we close.
Oh, sure, via my website, which is deeplucidedreaming.com, and I lead retreats on lucid dreaming. We're going to have a dream temple on the next retreat as well, especially built for us for incubating dreams. And there are just, you know, video classes. I have a podcast as well, as Teresa mentioned. So yeah, do connect with me. Thanks so much for listening.
Dive headfirst into all that, everyone. You've got a whole universe of the things that you can learn and discover. And to just close the show, we're going to play out, which could well be Claire's theme tune, but it's also this show's theme tune, A Million Dreams from The Greatest Showman, because you can never dream enough, really. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Teresa.